Let me start with a field of IID. Darnian motions indexed by ZD. One-dimensional Brownian motions on some probability space omega q. And then consider the following equation. On ZD, x is in ZD again. So U naught is some initial function. Kappa is some small parameter. Called diffusivity. And this is the symbol I use for Stratonovich differential. So this is sometimes called the parabolic Anderson equation. And as Girard mentioned where this might come from if this is replaced by a potential V, which is random. And I guess it originally came from a question of Anderson about entrapment of electrons in crystals with impurities. And in this case, I'm considering a one-dimensional equation, U as a real-valued object. In vector-valued cases, this, in appropriate form, models magnetic fields in stars. And there are some very challenging problems there. But I'll just stick to the one-dimensional case today. The initial function here will be, I'll take it to be non-negative, bounded, and not identically zero. Okay, so what is known about this? Well, quite a bit. There's a whole monograph by Carmona and Molchanov on the subject. And one thing that's, maybe I'll write down a theorem that has many authors, because it went through many versions. Almost surely with respect to the background field, the solutions exhibit exponential growth. And the growth rate is a constant that depends on the parameter kappa. This was first proved for U naught with compact support and not identically zero by Carmona and Molchanov, I believe. That they were the first one to prove that. And they use subadditivity arguments. Those subadditivity arguments don't work very well in the case where, well, they don't work at all, in fact, in the case when U naught does not have compact support. You might consider U naught to be the indicator of maybe the origin, or something like that. And then you might be able to piece together the argument if you know the additional information that solutions to this are represented using Feynman-Kott's formula. the solution is the expectation over random walk paths with jump rate kappa. So this random walk starts at x. It waits there for an exponential amount of time with distribution with parameter kappa, and then it picks one of its neighbors in ZD with all are equally likely, jumps there, and then proceeds from there as it did from the beginning. And so you average this exponential over all such paths, and then you throw in this term at the end. Okay, so if U naught were something like the indicator of the origin, you'd be looking at paths that start at x and go to U naught. And then you can see by sort of a simple argument that U of t plus a, U of t has, x has a, if I put 0 here, U of t 0 has a subadditivity because U of t plus s, well, I won't go through the argument, it's an easy exercise. Okay, so you get this exponential growth. You might ask, how do you, why would you get exponential growth here? Well, you get a sort of a bias here. This is, you're taking an average over this sort of payoff function. And these random walk paths are running through space and they're picking up Brownian motion increments. And it turns out some of them get very lucky, the Brownian motion paths, that is. I'm sorry, the random walk paths. And they go, they make jumps in such a way that the Brownian motion increments are positive or, you know, unbiased. So there's kind of a drift in there. And so that leads to an exponential growth. And you can actually say something about the exponential growth rate. I'll get to that in a minute. Lambda of kappa is about like a constant over log 1 over kappa. So it's going to 0 as kappa goes to 0. And there's a constant here that I'll describe in a second. And this theorem, part B, also went through an evolution. There were some estimates in Carmona and Molchanov's monogram. Then Leonid and Carmona and Molchanov got it in this form. And before theirs appeared, I also did this with Montford and Shiga by similar techniques. Now here, this theorem A for functions without compact support is a result of myself with Montford and Shiga, and we use oriented percolation arguments, block arguments from percolation. But I won't go through those. I want to maybe describe, first of all, what CW is. And to describe CW, I want to define something that's going to describe how big that term in the exponential could be. This will be the set of paths from the interval from 0 to n into ZD, so that the number of jumps of gamma is m. Okay, so it's the number of, essentially, this random walk can have any number of jumps. So I'm looking at the types, the realizations of the random walk paths on the interval from 0 to n that have m jumps. And then I take the soup of this thing over that parameter set. Now, this is a Gaussian field over that parameter set. And you can do entropy estimates on that. And throwing in subadditivity arguments, you can prove that ANN over N converges to CW almost surely. And that's what this constant is here. Okay. Now, here's a problem. I don't know how to solve it. It may be next to impossible, but I'll write it down anyway. Suppose you subtract off the predicted growth rate of this thing, and then you divide by some factor, n to something. I'll just pick a number at random, 1/6, say. Some of you may recognize this. Does this converge in law to something? Now, why would I think that? Johansson has a similar functional. I don't want to stick to 1/6. It could be some number other than 1/6, but maybe there's some number n to the alpha for which something like that works. Two S's? Okay. P.T. Barnum, I think, said, you can write anything about me you want, just make sure you spell my name right. Maybe I should do this. I don't know how to index these exactly. So take IID exponential random variables on each bond here. And so there'd be an IID exponential random variable here, et cetera. And now, let's say this is NN here. You look at the soup of the sum of these things over all paths. IJ, I index the bonds by IJ. And I take the soup, the largest sum that I can get over all paths going like that. Maybe I should call that AN. Or I'll call it YN star. Then I believe his result is that this goes through some Airy law. Oh, 1/3? Okay. Sorry. And actually it should be? Okay. On the sites. Okay, not on the bond. Sorry. Okay. So anyway, there's something like that. And it would even be interesting. So maybe alpha here. I don't know what the right number should be, but I think it would be interesting to know whether that's true. And there's even a simpler case of this that comes up. I think it's in the work of Tracy and Whittem, where they have independent Brownian motions on n sites. Much like in the Sanderson model. And you look at a path gamma that starts at the origin and goes up like this. Starts at the origin, goes to, and it can only move to the right. And then this kind of field comes up. And so far as I know, well, Zn over n converges to a constant here. But so far as I know, this is an open question, whether this kind of limiting law happens. So here, you take the same W's I started with. In the Anderson parabolic model, the paths can go anywhere. There are some results in the that arise from the theory of large random matrices, where you look at a soup like this, and it'd be interesting to see if something like this happens, which is similar to this. Now, why do I think it's next to impossible? Maybe I don't have to go into that. But I think these would be very interesting results too. Well, I would like to go on to explore the relation with what, or describe relation to what Benaruth was just talking about. That is quench to annealed transition. Sums of this sort, and in this I'm taking U naught to be identically 1, and lambda L, remember, is a set of points in ZD whose box norm is less than or equal to L. Now these results rely on something called the moment Lyapunov exponent. Take the pth moment of the solution, take the log, divide by t, and take the limit of c goes to infinity. That's called the pth Lyapunov exponent. An easy computation shows that gamma of 1 is a half. And the reason is simple. Using the Feynman-Cotes formula, and exchanging the order of integration, you get this. Now, when I'm taking this expectation, this realization is fixed, and so this is just a Brownian motion up here, and so that's e to the t over 2. So gamma of 1 is a half. Also, to tie it in with the previous Ford, the derivative of the pth moment at 0 is the almost sure Lyapunov exponent that I mentioned from before. Now, this is going to 0. I need to introduce a critical parameter here, or a couple of critical parameters that depend on this quantity eta, which comes up for reasons of, kind of large deviation type arguments. Eta of 2 and eta of 1 are critical values. In the following sense. If you take the sum of these solutions in the Anderson parabolic model over a box of size L, and L isn't growing exponentially, then UL behaves as if it's being dominated by one of the UXs. If I put U of XT in here, I get lambda of kappa. So a sum like this looks like one sum and, essentially, on boxes of smaller than exponential scale. That's the quench regime. Transition range. The lim sup of this sum of this quantity, log UL divided by T, is equal to this funny expression on the right-hand side. If I were to graph that in the range from 0 to 1, at b equal to 0, gamma of 0, it turns out, is 0, right? Because u to the 0 is 1, log of 1 is 0. So gamma of 0 is 0, and I put b equals 0 in here, I get gamma prime of 0, so that'd be lambda of kappa. So I start out at lambda of kappa here. At and at 1, this vanishes, and I wind up at the value gamma of 1, which is the annealed behavior, and here's the quench behavior. And this curve, so far, I'm only able to show that it's sort of the upper bound for how this thing behaves. Here's a conjecture. The limit actually exists and is equal to this. And another open problem would be to give some sort of description, much like Girard did, for how this transition takes place. What's going on probabilistically in this intermediate range? There are two more. I'll leave that there. Cases here. get a law of large numbers on large enough scales for the boxes. The boxes are growing exponentially with a rate faster than 801. Then you get a law of large numbers. So that means in the annealed regime. And then if you grow even faster, you get convergence to the central limit theorem, or to the normal, you get a central limit theorem. Okay, now in two dimensions this works for any kappa. For higher dimensions you have to have kappa small enough, and the reason is these are results that are basically intermittency. They rely on intermittency, and intermittency is that strict inequality holds in such a case. And what we need actually is to compare, for the central limit theorem, you need this inequality. Roughly why you need that, well, to prove central limit theorem, you use this, something called Lyapunov criterion, and you wind up having to compare 2 plus epsilon moment with a second moment, and this assists. And for the law of large numbers here, you wind up comparing 1 plus delta moment to a first moment. And when you have these inequalities at 2 and at 1, I mean, you have this at 2 when, well, anyway. Okay, so that's where intermittency comes in, and I guess I've run out of time, so I'll stop there.